Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, everybody. This is Ken Hodge, co-producer of Hodge to Hodge Podcast Radio. And as always, I got my right hand, my big brother, Brother Messenger Ron Dyer with me this evening. How you feeling, brother?
I'm blessed once again, my brother.
Okay, looks like, is that Nurse Carmen on with us tonight also?
Yes, it is. Hello.
Hey, sister. How you doing today, sister?
Oh, I'm good, thank you.
Okay. You know, it's, like I said, this is our Sunday night talk with the messenger as we bring a ministry to you designed to just get you closer to God. It's a ministry and it's a concept that requires your intellect. It requires you to think about some of the things that we're saying, because I know most of the time when we try to minister to people, the fact that some of our concepts are just a little different from what you've been raised on, you tend to just turn away without even giving it thought. And again, I can't force you to be godly, but I can tell you that you really have no choice in the matter. But I'm just trying to get you to recognize sooner than later that God's spirit fills everybody. And when you understand that, you will begin to understand the power that you have. Brother Messenger, if I was to put a question to you tonight, again, so that we're not always just drawing parallel to organized religion, regardless of what the denomination may be. If I was to ask you, based on your insight and your knowledge of the Creator, if I said to you, Brother Messenger, what must I do to be saved? How would you guide me into spiritual divinity, so to speak?
I would tell you from the very jump that there is nothing that you have to do to be saved. Because, as we've stated on numerous occasions, you are already saved. You were saved from birth. But this is part of what religion has taught us, that there is something that we have to do to please God, to allow Him, to allow us to come back to Him. And His word clearly tells us that I never leave you or forsake you. And that doesn't just apply to, He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So He is already with us. And in order for us not to be saved, that means that God has to be somewhere else other than with Himself. And how can that be if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? I mean, if we really stop and think about it, then we can see just how simple this is. We can see what it is that Jesus was trying to get us to understand. The fact that there is nothing that we need to do. What our job here on earth is to try to create the best life that we can for ourselves. It's just that simple. Create the best job, and God has given you the power and the authority to create anything that you choose. Whatever it is that is going to bring you joy, this is what you need to create for yourself. And when I say this, I want people to take into consideration that as you create these things that you would like, hopefully, I don't know too many people that just want to create war. Most people want to have their life to be as happy and successful as they would have it to be, as they can make it to be. And as we do these things, will begin to better understand when I'm happy with the life that I live, I don't have time to worry about the things that Nurse Carmen or you, my brother, are doing so wrong, because I'm happy within myself. So what that does is that's just taking one person or two people out of the mix of doing something wrong. So now we all come to this concept and begin to better understand it's not about, as, brother, as much as I love you, as much as I love you, if I can't love myself, how can I give you love? And we've got to understand that that's what it's about, love. God is love. And when you use the natural instinct of love that's within you, now all of these other things, this jealousy and stuff, this stuff isn't natural. And this is why we have to, something has to happen, but naturally you love. Naturally you're caring. Those are the God instincts that are in you that will begin to show themselves as you become more happier with yourself. When you're happier with yourself, you're not as concerned about some of the crazy stuff that other people are doing, are you? Because you're happy.
Not at all.
You want to tell them, but you're happy. But I know I kind of drifted away, but there is nothing that anyone has to do. And I know they might think it's crazy to say that, because I don't understand how in one breath we can talk about God, his goodness, his amazing grace, his forgiveness, his understanding, his kindness, and all of this stuff, but then think God put some kind of requirement on us. And I don't know if we were able, if anyone listened to one of our podcasts, I told you there is no requirement. God has no requirements for us. Anything that God wants and needs, he has. He doesn't need anything from us. And it's hard for us to believe that. We think that God needs something from us. God doesn't need our praise. God is deity. If we never acknowledge God, that God is, that doesn't change who God is. And so he's not going to go in the corner and be mad because all of a sudden you don't recognize me, so now I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do that. That doesn't concern him, because he knows that in the final analysis, you will come to know just who he is.
If you would listen to, if you would turn off your intellect and actually listen to some of the ministry with organized religion, whether it be any Catholicism, Hebrew, Judaism, you know, any of those organized religions, it's all about conforming to something. And the mere thought that I already have what you want me to pay you to get, that don't pass the common sense test. But we are so deeply rooted into this organized method of giving praise that, again, if we were to actually stop and think, I give 10% based off of a W-2 to a church. Really? Well, you know, and then you think that makes you a better person? No, I mean, don't get me wrong. It doesn't make you a bad person. So I'm not knocking that. I mean, I'm not knocking the hustle that a lot of ministers, and I do say hustle, a lot of ministers have out there getting you to tithe and build these big buildings that ain't helping nobody in the community or not doing as much in the community as possible. And when you fall into that trap, and that's all I want to say about our ministry. Our ministry is the key that takes those shackles off of you. Don't think for a second that once you are shackleless, that you still have a requirement to just be you. And if you be you, then you'll tap into the God in you, and you can't help but help those less fortunate than you. It's not even a requirement. Your soul will make you do that.
That is correct. This is part of the reason why it is said that it is more blessed to give than to receive, because the universal law is what a man soweth, so shall he reap. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Those are universal laws. And if anybody stops and think about it, no matter who you are, if you give something, somewhere you're going to get it in return. Now, one of the things that we have to look out for is because people try to play games. You can't play games with God. You can't trick God. All right, I'm going to give Nurse Carmen $2 because I know God's going to give me $4 back. That's not how it works. When I give, if I give to Nurse Carmen from my heart, meaning I'm giving it to her expecting nothing in return, it's just the God in me that says Nurse Carmen needs these $2 and give it to her. And one of our messages, we talked about being the source, and that's what it is. I gave out of the abundance of my heart, knowing that those $2 that I got from Nurse Carmen, I can get again. So I'm not worried about that. Even if I gave her my last $2, I'm not worried about that because I know that I can get it again. That's called being the source. And when you become the source, you're giving out of the abundance of your heart, not out of the abundance of your pocket, but out of the abundance of your heart. This is how it works. God has got it set up so that it says he has no respect of person. So that means that no matter who it is, this is how the principle of life works. And it's because no respect of person, because we're all one. And we've got to stop looking at each other as different, and we've got to stop looking at each other as separate. We are all one.
You know,
whether you
want
to accept it or not, we are one.
The message sounds good, and the message is pure. But see, here's where a lot of realists, again, a lot of realists come into play. I understand the message. And when I say realists, I mean actuality, people who look at facts and issues. And if I was to take that approach today, there's so much ill nature or ill will going around that I feel I'm just going to be taken advantage of until more people understand the concept. And I just want to say, you're never taken. If you give from your heart, it matters not what. If you gave your last to an organization, and because it was in your heart, then it don't matter what the organization did with the money. That's why, again, you can go directly to your fellow man this way. And again, if I gave to an organization because my heart told me to, and then I'm not satisfied with how that money was spent, it was supposed to be spent on feeding the homeless, but instead we put a bigger addition on the church. Well, I'm not comfortable with that. So, again, me personally, the next time it's time for me to give, then I'm going to give directly to those in need of it, and maybe I don't give to that organization. Because giving directly, or not even giving, helping directly, let's take the give out. Well, because you give your time. Helping directly, well, to me, and again, I don't own any Christian colleges, and I don't have several initials behind my name because I'm Dr. So-and-so. But helping somebody in need directly will always far outweigh you donating money to build churches and jet airplanes. I just believe that.
Amen.
And here's the beauty part of that. All we have to do is self-examine ourselves. Just think about how we feel when we're able to help someone. That feeling that you feel, that is the presence of God. You feel totally different when somebody makes you give them $5 or when you just give it to somebody from the abundance of your heart. That's God at work. And we don't see these things. And with regarding to churches and stuff of that nature, I'm not telling anybody not to give. You can give if that's what you feel you want to do. I just want you to know that is not a requirement of God. God does not require anything from us.
You know, when we talk about doing things from the heart, I got introduced to a young lady. You see it on Facebook, was it Jane? Easterly or Jane Ellen, Jane somebody. I'm sorry, I can't remember her last name, but I'm trying to contact her because I definitely want to invite her on one of our podcasts because she did a demonstration, and I'm not even going to talk about what the demonstration talked about. I'm just going to talk about the effect of the demonstration. She asked a question, And the question that she asked was, would you trade places with that person? Now, again, there were some other things talked about there, but the core concept was, would you trade places with another person? And that's an excellent question for us to ask as we see people in need. And again, it doesn't matter how they got there, they're there. And when we turn away and walk away from them, we should ask ourselves that question. If that was us, would you want somebody to walk away from you? I mean, it was just so
do
powerful.
Do unto others.
Yes.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's the principle of we are all one. That is correct.
Yeah, it was. And again, I'm trying to contact Jane. The last name is E. Because I definitely want to see if I can bring her on one of the podcasts. Because she's just a motivational and such a subtle type of way. It brings you face to face with some things that you fear. And then maybe to show you really have no reason to fear. And I just take that as if we tap into to God himself, not only will people like Jane become more prevalent in our lives, but we'll be those people. We'll live our, you know, then that testimony that Mr. Jane brings us will be the way we live. And I'm pretty sure, again, nobody knows for sure because we're all guessing. If we just tell it like it really is, we're all guessing. None of this from anybody, anywhere can be factually proven. So I'm going to say, if you treat people right, and again, love thy neighbor. That, if you look, those are some of the words from the prophet Jesus about love, because love stops a lot of foolishness. If I love you, again, I may not be quick to anger with you. If I love you, if you do something that's against what I stand for, because I love you, we can talk about it, and maybe you'll show me I'm standing for the wrong thing. That's if I love you. So when Jesus spoke about love thy neighbor, and that was his main message, if you look at it, that was the message he presented. We took it and twisted it up, but that was his message.
Only thing I have to differ a little bit with, I in my spirit, it is not a guess. I don't believe we're guessing on this because the words that I speak at times, they're not of me. I do not proclaim to know it all, but sometimes when I start to speak, words are coming out and they're not of me. And it's just the Bible being fulfilled. He said, open your mouth, I'll speak for you. He said, love ye one another. You know how you feel when you love one another. He said, judge not, for you know not what path that person has chosen to take. Choose your path and live your path. You do these things. You do these things. You speak things into existence, and they happen. They just don't happen at the rate that we want them to happen because of our lack of belief. So I just have to differ with you on that as far as guessing, because I feel it in my spirit, not in my head, but in my spirit, because when I speak these things, it's something in my spirit that agrees with it. And for those that say, well, I'm not agreeing with it, it's only because you're choosing not to. And I'm not saying that you have to agree with every single word that I say. I always say to everyone, go to the source yourself. He is within you. Talk to God. But when God talks back to you, be on the lookout. Because just because he doesn't answer you right that second does not mean that you're not going to get the answer. How many times has somebody said something and all of a sudden they got in the car and that song played that answered the question for them? Or something rolled by that they saw a billboard that answered the question for them? These are all the different avenues that God has to work with us. We just have to have that open mind to see it, because nothing happens by coincidence.
You know what? It's just so funny, Brother Messenger, because I'm waiting for you to take a pause, because I want to slide right in there and ask you, so you don't believe in coincidence. And before I can get that question, is on the tip of my tongue to ask you, and you already come out with. So that just answered my question for me, brother. I appreciate it. Because I was sure waiting for you to take a breath,
because I was going to slide in there with, so you don't believe anything is a coincidence.
No, everything is happening for a reason because of the way, this is how God set this up perfectly. He did not make an error when he did this. And this is what gets me, because in one breath we are talking about how great and how wonderful he is, how he doesn't make mistakes and how he can't do wrong or anything like that, but then we turn right back around and then we say that he can't do this. God said everything that he created was good, but then we turn around and say we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, so that knocks out what God did. We say that the devil was an angel gone bad. How can an angel go bad and rebel against God? How can that be? If God created that angel to praise him, which he didn't, but if he created an angel to praise him, how can the angel do anything but praise him?
Anything but that. And you know, a lot of people look at that and I hear that. And when you ask that question, okay, so Adam and Eve had to get ran out of the garden. Moses had to Moses had to drown the army in the Red Sea. Noah had to build this ark. I mean, come on. In other words, you know what I'm saying? They got all these big productions. That's because, and again, and I keep saying it, is we are so mentally conditioned. I mean, and it's pathetic, and it's real sad, but it is what it is. That if there's not a big production around it, we are convinced there's no way it could be God. Never mind the fact that you walk down the street and you see a homeless man and you reach in your pocket and give him a quarter. No, that was too small. That couldn't be God. No, that can't be God. So we're looking for the big things. But you know what I'm saying? So,
yes, sir, brother. You're talking right. And that is God. But we can't see that as God. We want to take credit for that. But we can take credit for it because it's the God in us. All good and perfect gifts come from where?
From God, from the Creator.
When you gave that person that was in need anything that helped them out, don't you think they consider that a good gift?
Of course.
All good and perfect gifts come from where?
From God himself. Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, if you stop and think about it, even who we see, quote unquote, as the worst person out there, and we give them a quarter or we give them anything, what's the first thing that they say to you?
Thank God. That's a blessing.
Huh? Thank you, or bless you, my brother, or something giving God the glory. But we don't see it as that, but that's what it is. And this is why I say that we are not to be concerned per se, and when I say concerned, I mean to look down on people that are walking a different path than us. Just because they're walking a different path don't make it wrong for them, or don't make it bad. We might see it as bad, but as we spoke before, you think about some of the people without housing and stuff of that nature. You've seen these people without housing for years, but they're still surviving. They're still there. Every winter you see them, and every summer you see them. So what is that telling you? God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And just because it isn't something that we desire, we can't just look at it as being so wrong. Everything has got to be either good or bad with us. And why can't it just be one experience or another? We make it either good or bad, and it's not. It's just an experience. God does not like hot better than he does cool. He doesn't like high better than he loves low. It's all him. So when we can understand that concept and stop trying to pit ourselves above each other and realize once again that we are all one, we'll start looking at things differently. And we'll start behaving differently. We'll start treating people differently. So the error isn't in God, it's in us, in our thinking. We're making this so much harder than what it has to be.
And because
and it doesn't have
easy,
to be hard.
It don't have to be hard, but if it's easy, and if it's in, if it's given to us in the purest form possible, then that means we don't need all these churches. In fact, we don't need any of these churches. We don't need ministers. Now, again, and when I say don't need them, I mean where I don't need you having a congregation of X number of people reporting to you on a rotating basis or on a scheduled basis, because that's not necessary. Because now when we get together, once we connect, we don't have to get together every day, two or three, well, every week, two or three times and tell a story about the prophet Jesus. We can get together when we get together, and when we assemble, we have our own miracles that we talk about, our own God stories.
That is correct. God, Jesus led some good examples, but what we fail to realize is we're leading some good examples.
Yeah.
There are people out there that's doing a good work that we
yes.
can speak
Amen.
About.
Yes, sir.
But we feel that the only way we can get the message across is if we talk about Jesus. And don't get it twisted. I'm not saying Jesus didn't do a good work. But there are a lot of, God has all of his people out here that are doing a good work. And here's one thing that amazes me a lot of times is we go to a homegoing service for someone who, quote unquote, is not in the church. And all of the religious people seem to think, well, we don't know about this brother. We don't know about this sister, whether they're going to make it. But then when people get up and talk about this person, they talk about all the love that this person had. Now, the love that they had for him, like street gang, like a gang. They talk about love. We just see what they're doing is wrong. But in that community, they've got nothing but love. They've got better love than we have sometimes. Because they would say they ride or die. That's some deep love. Is our love that deep?
Mm-mm. I'll ride with you.
So
I'll ride with you.
They'll ride.
Yeah, I'll ride with you. But
let's see if at all costs, man. If neither one of us got to take that trip, especially you got to take it together. I'm just saying. Somebody got to be here to keep the message going, man. So one of us got to be here, man. Hey, listen. Just anyway, on a little light note, but yeah, like I said, I want to keep our ministry going again. I think that people got to wake up, man. And again, there's nothing bad that we're putting out. Nothing bad at all. Again, and I'll tell you, it does not matter to me. I've been blessed with the ability to have a podcast, and I'm going to use it to have my voice heard. Again, it doesn't matter if one person follow or if 1 million follow. It doesn't matter. This message continues to come out. And when you are ready to receive it, all you have to do is receive it because it's already there. You got to do nothing special. You don't got to go into a dark room. You don't got to call nobody. All you got to do is say, hey, I acknowledge my existence and the power within me. Nurse Carmen, let's say our good night. We got 60 seconds.
I enjoyed listening to the message, and I thank you, my brother, and love you guys.
Love you too, Nurse.
Love you
too. Go ahead, brother. Message, take it home.
I just want to say to those that as you spoke about this podcast going out, I'd love for it to go out as well. But I want people that are hearing this, and I am not begging anyone, but I want them to know that their contributions can help. It's not a requirement, but if it touches your heart, don't let the fact that, oh, he just asked it for money, because that's not what I'm doing. I just want to be able to share it even more. It's not a requirement. But if you feel a good work coming from the Father to you, why would we want to share it? So we are asking for your help if it so be. There is no demands on it whatsoever, because as the brother said, we are going to continue, but we can increase the podcast. We can do it more frequently. We can do it at better hours where more people can come in. So this, it's not a one-person thing. We are one again. So we have to all come together and work together so that we can dispel some of the disbeliefs that are going on so that we can have our life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Amen, my brother. Hey, good night, and I'll see you on Thursday night. Have a nice one, everybody.
Sounds good.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Pleasure. Good night. Good night. Love you.